Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome back to Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Justin Bradford, Joe Rexroad, Marquise Munson behind the glass. And rocknashville.com is your community resource page. Check it out for information around town, including Nashville's Good to Go initiatives, CDC updates, ways to help the Middle Tennessee community. That's rocknashville.com. And now, Joe, we're going to switch over to some college football talk because so much breaking news continues to happen, especially over the weekend. We're bringing in Chris Doering of the SEC Network. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. So let's go ahead and start off just what you've been having to hear and deal with since, say, Friday and what's happened over the weekend, how much things have changed for you and what you're seeing develop just out of the Power Five right now.
Yeah, I mean, this last 72 hours is kind of a microcosm of what we've been dealing with as a society, as a planet since March. I mean, you feel good one day, and then, you know, that roller coaster of emotions kind of takes over. I couldn't have been more optimistic and excited on Friday night. Had a chance to do the SEC reveal show with Dari Noka on Friday evening, and just felt really good about where we were headed and that things were going to turn out at least to where we were going to give it a go. And then all of a sudden, with the Max announcement on Saturday morning and subsequently all the other rumors that started flying around Saturday and Sunday, it's looking less and less likely. So I'm still holding out hope. I'm a glass half full guy, but I am obviously expecting to hear some cancellations later on today.
And looking at this with the MAC and it being not the Power Five with the MAC, what is it, just the MAC that really trickled down everything to really kick things into gear? Do you think there were things going on before then that other conferences in the Power Five, not the SEC, were discussing that potentially this could be happening and it all just came to fruition over the weekend?
I don't know. It's so weird, isn't it? I mean, the Big Ten themselves just put out their schedule. They had a big announcement about how and when and where the games were going to be played earlier in the week. So, like, what changed between there and where we are today? I mean, I understand the MAC. It certainly puts a lot of pressure on everybody else. But at the same time, like, the MAC is in a much different situation than the Power Five conferences are. Not only are they dealing with the pandemic and the risks that go along with that, but they're dealing with losing out on a lot of those money games that they were slated to play, primarily against the Big Ten, but against some other Power Five conferences as well. The financial impact of that, the inability probably to test and have the same protocols that a lot of the Power Five conferences were able to have. So I do think it was an announcement that brought some light to the possibility of other conferences canceling the season, but at the same time, I do believe it was a much different situation for them than it is for the Power Five.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, Chris. You know, the MAC, like you said, first of all, there's a lot of financial implications to not having those games. And I've kind of thought for a while now that if we saw college football, we would see only Power Five college football this fall. And now, as you said, it doesn't look good. Sometimes I look at these things, and I know this isn't necessarily the intentional case, but I look at last night, it almost felt like a trial balloon. Like, what's the reaction now? There are some people that are trickling information out to reporters that it doesn't look good. So what is now the reaction? And we've definitely seen a very strong vocal reaction from a lot of players to this. I guess my question for you, Chris, is do you see at this point right now any way that this changes and goes in the other direction?
Well, we had a chance to have Brett McMurphy on our show probably 10 days ago or so, and we asked him if there was one Power Five conference that would be most apt to cancel the season, who would it be? He said unequivocally it would be the Big Ten. They want to follow suit with the Ivy League. They want to have that moral superiority appearance, I think that is very likely. I mean, they were the first ones to come out and say they were going to play a conference-only schedule, kind of going away from what we thought was going to be a solidified Power Five group together. So I don't think it would be surprising if they ended up at this point canceling their season. But again, what's the point in doing it right now? I think the SEC had a good plan pushing the season back to September 26th to buy themselves a little bit more time, to be able to watch what the NFL does, how they handle training camps, how they handle some of the first games of the season. McMurphy went on to say in his interview with us, like, if the Big Ten were to cancel, that he thought the Pac-12 would follow and probably every other Power Five conference except the SEC. I mean, there was talk from him and a belief that even if it was just the SEC that decided to play this year, they would be okay with trying to make that happen. And I would not be surprised to see them, even if everybody else cancels, at least give it a go, get a little bit closer. Let's see what's happened. Let's let some kids get back on campus if, in fact, they do decide to have school that way. And you know, let's play the plan out. I don't think there's any reason to audible yet at this point in time. And I think the groundswell of player support, the vocal nature of the social media over the weekend and how adamant they are about playing, I think there really are some good arguments that they put out very well. I thought Trevor Lawrence did a nice job of speaking about how it is actually a little more safe for them to be on campus with the medical professionals, the access to those folks, to have structure, to have, you know, the nutrition that they have. So it was nice to see that, which was a big swing from what we saw just a week earlier with the Pac-12 United message.
Yeah, in general, we're hearing a lot from college football players, and I think they are finding their voice with a range of opinions. Just on your point there, Chris, about the SEC. So, and I think we may be talking a lot of hypotheticals soon again about college football. But so let's say that happens. The SEC plays. No, everybody else doesn't play. So are we talking? Then you wait for everybody else to play in the spring, and you have your playoff. Like, you know what I mean? Like how does that work within finding a national champion? I guess.
No, we get another national championship to claim, man. It's the it works out well.
Just means more.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I think again, having everybody said, you know, months ago that playing in the spring was a worst case scenario, like a last ditch effort to have a season. I think even if you push it back now, like what's going to change? Again, you talk about hypotheticals. Are we going to have a vaccine by then? Are they going to have, you know, have we had more success with the NFL having their season? Are the things that we can learn at that point in time? I think if you play in the spring, now all of a sudden you're going to be putting players at more risk, having to try to get them to play a season and then get a small break and then come back for the fall year. You're talking about putting two seasons in jeopardy at that point in time. You know, I have a hard time believing if they do cancel fall football that they're going to find a way to get it done. And even if they do, how many people are going to participate in the spring? I just, you know, there's going to be a very few, you know, that junior and senior class probably won't play at all. It'll be just a shell of what we were expecting to see here with the fall football.
And again, Chris Dorian joining us of the SEC Network here on Morning Drive. Chris, looking at this as well, if there is a cancellation, it's the implications of what happens not only to these teams for the future, but for the players as well, especially junior seniors looking forward to their pro careers and what this season could mean for them, to these cities, as well as support college football and everything. What other steps do you think could be taken, at least if there is a cancellation, to help take care of these kids that are looking for this? This is their opportunity to go on and do something bigger and better for their lives.
Yeah, I don't even know what that possibility would be at this point in time. And you know, there's two things that I think that we should be thinking about when it comes to these players, the student athletes. One is what you talk about, the ability to, you know, showcase their skills, to show the NFL what they're able to do. Guys like Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, Ja'Marr Chase, those guys, they're going to go in the first round regardless if there's a season or not. But there's a lot of players that very well could help themselves move up into the first round or second round and change their family's opportunity for the future. There's people that probably aren't even on the draft board right now that could go out and have a great season, that could make a name for themselves, to give themselves an opportunity to play at the next level. I think that's a very important aspect of it. But I also think just the experiential factor. You know, like I could tell you, for me, I played in the NFL for 9 years, but my years at Florida, my 5 years playing college football, were way better and way more memorable than what the NFL years were, and the opportunity to play with people that are all in the same stage of life, 18 to 22 year old folks that are going through such a transitional period in their lives. There are a lot of lessons. There are a lot of things that are going to benefit these kids by playing football that they'll miss out on if they're not able to. So I do think, as much as everybody's quick to want to do what's best for them, quote unquote, with protecting them and their health, I do think there are some things that need to be thought about in protecting these kids and what's best for them in other aspects as well.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question there's an emotional, psychological component with, you know, high school athletes as well. I mean, it's, you know, this is a lot of the identity of these kids too. And, you know, you spend – I mean, I feel so much for – you think about these teams that have been out busting their butt in the heat in the last, you know, few weeks. And now – you're seeing a lot of no one ever tells us what's going on. Now all of a sudden, you know, you're canceling it. And of course, I think liability is from day one has always been to me a big part of this. You know, basically, you know, these university presidents are ultimately going to make the decisions, you know, conference commissioners too, but university presidents really making the decisions. And I think that is all, that to me has always been the underlying, or maybe it's not underlying, it's the biggest thing is liability. But I guess my question for you, Chris, is what could have been done differently? We know that in society you are sort of just hoping things get better out there with the virus. But
yeah,
is there anything that could have been done differently on the college side of things to plan, prepare, or change this outcome?
Yeah, I don't know that there is, and you're right. I mean, I think what we've dealt with here since March is a lot of conflicting information. I think there's been a lot of guessing, and a lot of every time we think we know something else pops up or changes. So I don't know that the colleges, I don't know that there was anything that these athletic departments could have done differently. In all honesty, I think it's actually gotten better. I mean, think about in June when everybody got back on campus, when they started these workouts again, the numbers around the country, I mean, I think Clemson was at 37, 38 positive tests, LSU, Alabama, everybody was having these outbreaks that now seem to be under control. And I got to actually hand it to the players because I think they were a large part of what kind of changed. I think everybody initially got back, they thought, oh, everything's going to be okay, we're going to hang out the way that we used to, we're going to go do the things that we've always done as college students, and that caused a rapid spread of the virus. And I think since then, the numbers that have been reported around college football have been significantly lower, in a lot of cases down to zero. So they found a way to manage it. And I do understand that they're worried about what happens when the rest of the kids show up for campus, but I have a hard time believing they're even going to have on-campus classes anyway. So why can't we find a way to have the season? You know, everybody's going to go online. You got your athletes on campus protected, almost in a bubble-like situation. I actually think that's a much better opportunity for the season to be played as opposed to having everybody integrated back in when the general population returns.
Very, very good points made there, Chris. And I'm sure this is a situation we're going to be following every 30 minutes just on Twitter to see what gets broken here. We do appreciate your time, and thank you so much for your insight and providing that for us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Chris. You too. Thank you. Chris During of the SEC Network, lots to discuss, and we're going to bring that up next and dive deeper into the college football landscape. Up next, Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.